Good afternoon again. I would like to make, I don't know if anyone made remarks about the weather earlier, but what a difference a week makes. How could we lose that much snow in just 1 week? I know Mr. Jackson is probably going to be just sick. He left here with 8-10 inches of snow on the ground, and it'll be gone by the time he gets, it's already gone. And I'm sure Mr. Zima is not extremely happy himself, since how he loves that sub-zero weather. But for those who are here for the first time in the Baltimore area, I just want you to understand and know, this is not typical weather, so it's not going to be like this all the time. So don't go packing up your trucks, your cars, your moving van, and moving out. That's probably about the worst you're going to see. A few weeks ago, Mr. Waller began a series of sermons on the subject of the Sabbath. We all keep the Sabbath, but we also know there is a lot to learn about keeping the Sabbath, how to keep it properly, what we should do. So there is a lot to learn about keeping the Sabbath. Mr. Jackson, 2 weeks ago, began a series on covering the deception of the majority of humanity. One thing that both these topics have in common is that the depth of understanding of them that we still need. Today, not so. It's not a series. I'm going to discuss a topic that I feel that we all understand fairly well. I'm going to review a belief that is shared and practiced by most, if not all of us. But I'm covering this subject. Why? Why take up the time? I'm covering the subject in order to help us better explain. To better be able to give an answer if someone asked you why you do this. So I'm not going to be saying, here's what I need you to do. I'm not going to be saying, are you doing this? I'm simply going to be giving you some information today so you can sit back and relax and see if perhaps you hear something that you haven't heard before. In terms of actual physical words, the number of words in a subject, the shortest paragraph introducing the fundamental belief, the belief that we have, the core value, goes like this. We believe that those meats that are designated unclean by God in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 are not to be eaten. That's the whole statement. That's all there is to it. For those who like titles, the title of this message is going to be, Does Your Explanation Meet, M-E-A-T, the test? Does your explanation meet the test? Let's begin with a little history lesson about clean and unclean meats. We need to remember where it starts. Let's go to Genesis 1. And we'll start reading in verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Let's start reading in verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, the cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth and every other creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And let's drop down to verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. It was very good. Let's, like Mr. Manfred did on several of his, what he read, let's break this down a little bit. Let's go back to verse 26. This man was made in the image of God. He was made in the image of God. He was made to pursue and achieve perfection. He was made to become a part of the family. Man was given dominion over all the animals. The land, the sea, the creeping things. Man was given dominion over all those things. And this, I want to read verse 31. This is speculation. I'm sorry, verse 30. It says, also, to every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Does that mean all animals were not carnivorous, but plant-eating? We're not sure. Because we really aren't sure when the decision was made between clean and unclean animals. We're just not sure. But we do know that all God did in those verses, he pronounced them good. Maybe it was all good, and it all went bad when Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. Let's go ahead to Genesis 6. Genesis 6. God had, he was sorry that he had made man. He was going to destroy the earth, but he was going to preserve the life of Noah. And in verse 17, he is speaking to Noah, and he says, and behold, I myself am bringing the flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life, and everything that is on earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Two of everything in the ark for the purpose of keeping them alive. Them being the animals, the animal kingdom. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, Two of every kind will come with you to keep them alive. But you can bring something else. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and them. So along with these two of everything, you can gather what you need for food. Well, let's go to verse 7. Starting in verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You've done what I asked you to do. Come on in. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also 7 each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the earth. Those 7 animals, those 7 clean animals, were they to be food? Were they to be food for Noah? In the booklet on clean and unclean meats, it speculates that, yes, part of the reason was going to be food, but also part of the reason was that these were more domesticated animals, and they, when the ark landed, they were more subject to being killed by prey, which is another reason that they needed more. But I want to point out what's missing. What is missing from these instructions? Where are the instructions telling them what animals are clean and what animals are unclean? Obviously, they were there. Obviously, this is long before Israel. And obviously, Noah knew what animals were clean or unclean. I'm going to read a little bit from you for you. It says, God did not tell Noah in this account that he was, for the first time, making a distinction between clean and unclean animals. He didn't say it's the first time I'm making this distinction. God simply said, of every clean animal, you shall take 7 pairs, males and their mates. Every animal that is not clean, 2, a male and its mate. God did not have to define for Noah the meaning of clean and unclean. Noah understood it. He understood what clean and unclean was. And he obeyed. To accomplish what God meant by these terms, we must go to other chapters of the Bible, namely Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. The account in Genesis about Noah shows that the distinction between clean and unclean animals existed early in history, long before God ratified his covenant with Israel. Thus, the Bible itself clearly shows that the popular idea that the cleanliness and uncleanliness of animals originated in the Old Covenant is incorrect. It didn't start with the Old Covenant. It was already in existence. Since these distinctions existed long before the Israelite sacrificial system and Levitical priesthood, it does not follow that they would cease when those things change. As we'll see later on, the Bible teaches the distinction between clean and unclean has never been rescinded, and that the distinction continues to exist and continues to exist for good reasons. For good reasons. Let's go to Leviticus 11. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Among the beasts, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs, and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hoofs, the camel, because it chews the cud but does not have the cloven hoofs, is unclean to you. But the rock hyrax, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hoofs, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hoofs, is unclean to you. And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, their carcasses you shall not touch, for they're unclean to you. Here God is instructing Israel, and we'll come back to the rest of this later on. He's instructing Israel through Moses and Aaron that these foods are unclean to you. And this is where most people get the idea that they started. But as you saw, it started long before. And it continues on. Interesting story. Let's go to Mark, the 5th chapter. Now, to introduce this, I need to tell you that if you remember when Christ was feeding the 5,000 with the fish and the loaves, when they finished feeding, he said, gather everything up. Don't leave a crumb. Because he was not a wasteful being. He did not want any waste. He knew the value of food. He said, gather it all up. So reading in verse 1, in chapter 5, Mark 5, it says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and who no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. This was a madman. He was a madman. He was tormented. Verse 6 says, but when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him and cried out with a loud voice, saying, what have I? And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Now, this was an unclean spirit that was speaking. And he, Jesus, said to him, come out of that man, unclean spirit. And then he said, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Incidentally, a little side issue. What about all the movies that are coming about demons? You know, this is the battle. A court from the viewpoint of the demons. I don't care about the people, but it's frightening. It is extremely frightening. And I remember because there's a new movie coming out called Legion. Legion. And there's some people who are like, no, they can't wait to see it. I have no plans to ever see it. None whatsoever. But that's how our minds can be deceived. Going back to David's sermon, our minds can be deceived, and just what is bad is good. And what's good is bad. Anyway, enough. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out into the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there in the mountains. And all the demons bade him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. If swine were not still considered unclean, why would Christ allow that much waste of food that would be good to eat? Be good to eat. Another popular one, Acts 10, one that we know fairly well. My Bible titles it, Peter Sees the Great Sheep. Again, this is history. This is what history of clean and unclean means. That's what I'm trying to give you. The next day, as they went on a journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open, an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down on the earth. He must have been starving. I mean, this wasn't just the normal, you know, I wake up, I could eat. This is starving. And a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. So even now, they were not eating unclean foods. They were not eating unclean foods. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. The interesting thing about this is that Peter knew that no matter whatever the message was God was trying to get to him, it was not to eat unclean foods. He was trying to figure out what God was trying to tell him. But he knew it was not, Peter, it's okay to eat these crawling things or these creeping things that are on this sheet. And in verse 28, says, then he said to him, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man, anyone that he has called, any person that he has called, any one of us in his family. I should not call any of his unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? And he was sent for because he was instructed to send for him. For Peter. And one other, you don't have to turn, I'll read that. This. Still going forward. Revelation 18, verse 2. Revelation 18, verse 2. It says, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. A cage for every unclean and hated bird. And brethren, again, I did not have the scripture down, but in Isaiah 11, verse 6, where it talks about the cow and the bear, and the little child shall lead them, and an infant shall play on the nest of a poisonous snake. It talks about those animals. It says their nature was changed, but it never said that those things were now good for food. It never said you can now eat them. So my conclusion is that it started way back, and it's going to continue on into the millennium. It's going to continue on to into the millennium. Who is this message for? Well, if we go back to Genesis 7, just briefly. Actually, let's go back to Genesis 6. Verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. That's all of mankind that was going to be left. That's all of mankind that was going to be left. None of them are to be eating unclean foods. None. Now, you know how human nature is. If God says it's left, human nature says it's right. There's a show on TV. I watched it one time. It's all I could bear to watch it. It's called Bizarre Food with Andrew Zimmerman. Has anyone ever seen that? Bizarre Food with Andrew Zimmerman. Andrew recalls getting upstaged by animals such as a camel or even a urinating turtle. He reveals his favorite dishes, bacon shark in Trinidad and Tobago, koi, which is baked guinea pig in Ecuador, and roasted ox heart and roast pigeon in London, before he takes his visit to a London sausage shop. After a few more behind-the-scenes outtakes, Andrew reveals that he has a hearty constitution. He needs it to try mangrove worms in the Philippines, coconut grubs in Ecuador, roasted snake in Vietnam, and edible insects and critters from a culinary legend near New York City. I think I'd eat them in the Trinidad before I'd eat them in New York City. Coming up to the end of the show, Andrew confessed that some specialties were even too weird for him. Like stinky tofu, which is 1,000-year-old eggs, spoiled meat, egg of Morocco, and something else that I think I should not mention. People will eat anything and call it a delicacy. And the more unusual, the more they think it's really, really worth something. And most of the times, it's in the crawling, creeping family. It's like rattlesnake from Texas. barbecue rattlesnack from Texas. Sorry, Paul. So this information, or this law, applies to all mankind. But all mankind, as we know, and as I just demonstrated, doesn't follow that law. Not at all. So, let's go back to Leviticus 11 again. And this time we're going to start reading at the end of the information, verse 43. It says, "You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping things that creeps, nor shall you make yourselves unclean by them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy as I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with anything, any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Sorry about that. "For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Brethren, God wants us. He made us in his image to emulate his holiness. To emulate his holiness. And he's given us. He gave it to Israel. And by extension, he gave it to us. His holy people. These laws to follow. And it's not about just diet. It's about obedience. It's about holiness. It's about not partaking of any abomination, of anything that's unclean. That is the most important part. Understanding what the animals are and what the animals aren't is important. It's important because you need to know how to be holy. You need to know what to avoid to stay holy. So you need to have that information. But the most important part is, once you get that information, you need to follow those laws. And brethren, we can't be careless about it. We can't be half-hearted about it. We can't say, again, I don't want anybody to be obsessive about it. But we can't just walk into a restaurant and order meatloaf. Because a lot of meatloaf is made with veal and beef and pork. When we're buying something new, we should take the time to read the label. Why? Because we're compulsive? No, because God does not want us to make ourselves, to foul ourselves, to make us ourselves unclean. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. And that requires effort. That requires effort. Let's go to Leviticus 19. Basically the same words. Verse 1-3. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother, his father, and keep my Sabbaths." Keep my law. Because I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Turn over to Leviticus 20. And we'll start reading in verse 24. 5 said to you, you shall inherit their land. I will give it to you to possess a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you greatness. I'm going to give you plenty. I'm going to give you the money that Mr. Zeman is trying to keep you from having. No. But you shall therefore, because I am doing that, you shall therefore distinguish between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. And you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. I've made it unclean. It's not good for you to eat. It's abominable. If you eat it, you'll be unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you shall be mine. You shall be his. Brother, this is the creator of the universe. This is not just, you know, somebody would be good to have as a friend. He owns everything. One of my wife's favorite scriptures, the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. He owns it all. But he chose us. He chose us. Let's go to Deuteronomy 14. So reading in verse 1, it says, you are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor shave the front of your head for the dead, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Kings, queens, millionaires, billionaires, God has chosen us as special above all them. People who do good, people who do bad, God has chosen us as special among all them. And he chose us. Was it because we were good? In my case, I know it wasn't because I was good. But he chose me. He chose you. He chose us. Because of that, you should not eat any detestable thing. You shall not eat any detestable thing. Let's go to 1 Peter, just briefly. First Peter 2. Because, brethren, we've been talking about the Israelites, and we've been talking about ourselves as an extension of them. First Peter 2, verse 8. So, verse 9. But you, we, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We once were not a people, but are now the people of God. We once did not obtain mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg of you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from your fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Which animals? And we have just a few minutes to go over some of them. I won't go over all of them. Which animals does the Bible designate as clean and unclean? Which animals? Let's go back to Deuteronomy because we spent a lot of time in Leviticus. Let's go to Deuteronomy 14. And I'm going to take most of this information right from the booklets. They've done a much better job than I could have. Deuteronomy 14:6 says, God states that cuts you in animals with split hooves can be eaten. That's Deuteronomy 14, verse 6. These specifically include cattle, sheep, goat, deer, gazelle. He also lists such animals as camels, rabbits, pigs as being unclean or unfit to eat. Actually, let's go back to Leviticus 11. This is mostly tied to that chapter. Go to verse 29 to 31. So these shall be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth, the mole, the mouse, the large lizard after its kind, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the sand reptile, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. Birds, so verse 20. So birds such as chickens, turkeys, and pheasants are not on the unclean list and therefore can be eaten. Insects, with the exception of locusts, crickets, and grasshoppers, are listed as unclean. And I won't go through any more of this for time's sake. I don't want to go all the way up to 4:30. But I do have a list of clean and unclean animals. It's actually in the booklet, Clean and Unclean Meats. So if you have that booklet, I would suggest that you take it out and review this. If you don't have it, I have a couple of copies, and I'll be glad to share them with you. I will just read a few things quickly from the clean animals. Antelope, bison, caribou, deer, elk, gazelle, giraffe, goat, hart, ibex, moose, ox, reindeer, sheep, in the fish family, anchovy, barracuda, bass, bluefish, bluegill, carp, cod, crappie, drum, flounder, grouper, haddock, hake, halibut, hardhead, minnow, rockfish, salmon, and birds, chicken, dog, duck, goose, grouse, Anyone, in case anybody's planning their lunch for afterwards, which partridge, peafowl, pheasant, pigeon, quail, sparrow, swan. And just a few of the unclean. Boar, pig, coyote, dog, fox, cat, cheetah, leopard, panther, tiger, brown hog, mole, monkey, possum, and one that I dearly hate to see on the list. I knew it was on there, but my mother used to make the best muskrat. I am telling you, it was so good. My wife would go down and visit and say, can we have muskrat when we come down? Oh, well. That was about 40 years ago, so I think it's out of my system by now. But, brethren, we find ourselves here, out of step with the world. We've just come through a whole season where we're out of step. There were so many hams at those big dinners. We're out of step. We find ourselves in Maryland, the crab capital of the world. You don't like crabs? Are you sure? Have you ever tried them? We're out of step with the world. But brethren, we're in harmony with our Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. The law of clean and unclean foods is one that we probably have practiced almost to perfection since we were baptized. A slip here, a slip there, but it's one that we practice. Didn't need a lot of new information, but sometimes people will ask you, why don't you eat crabs? Doesn't that just the Jewish, isn't that just Jewish? You know, wasn't that done away with? The church that I attended before I came here, I went to my pastor and asked him, how come it's okay to eat pork now when it wasn't okay then? And he said, well, they hadn't invented refrigeration then. So since they've invented refrigeration, it's okay to eat. And they really have found ways to raise pigs in a somewhat clean environment. They found ways to cook so that it kills all of the, cook up to a certain temperature, but it kills most of the bacteria. And if you get it in a refrigerator, it's probably fairly safe. But you know what? God says don't eat it. If the rabbi's rabbi blessed it, if the best scientists in the world said not only is it not bad for you, but it'll help you stay young, it'll give you energy, it'll give you life, God says don't eat it. Be holy. Don't defile yourselves by eating that stuff. It's my hope that this has helped you to be able to explain it if someone asks you. Someone really wants to know. A little caution. Don't go out and try to convert anybody with the message, because it's not going to help. It might cause more problems than it's worth. But if someone wants to know, and really wants to know, give them the information. That's what I've given it to you for. But brother, I want you to remember two things. Actually, three things. We want you to remember who we are. Who we are. We are chosen by God to be His children. That's who we are. Never forget that. Number two, no matter what doctrine we're talking about, don't be careless. If it's important to God, if it's important enough for Him to put it in His Word, then it's important to you. So don't be careless. And number three, God asks us. He importunes us. He begs us to be holy as He is holy. And brethren, He has given us an opportunity because He has called us to be His children.